This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
The reason I'm prepared for this position is because I've been preparing for this all my life.
Our goal is to compete and really put a fun team on the court that really gets after it.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
We're very talented. I mean, when we go out there and compete at a high level and give a lot of effort, we can be a good team.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Despite a horrendous first quarter of basketball going down by as many as 20 points, your Houston Rockets come back to beat the Portland Trail Blazers 104-101, improving to 8-9 on the season, now 5-4 at home, 5-3 since the James Harden trade, and now they are the number one rated defense in the entire NBA since the trade. What is up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and the founder slash managing editor of ClutchCityControlRoom.com, your home for all things Houston hoops. You can follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as the blog at ClutchCityCR. What a game. Like, first off, it's the Blazers, and I mean, it's like, there's like, I feel like on the list of like grudge matches in the NBA, like the Rockets and Blazers games, just like, these are just, these two teams just like really hate each other. Like, and I mean, for good reason, right? It goes back to 0.9 seconds. It goes back to, you know, no layups. It's just, there's a lot of history between these two teams. And so getting a dub against the Blazers always feels nice, especially seeing as how they already lost to them once earlier this season, rolling out a super undermanned roster. Yes, that was still in the James Harden era of the Rockets, but, you know, and he came up so close to winning that game, whatever. It just feels good to get a W against them. And look, hey, this time around, they were the shorthanded ones, and I honestly don't feel very bad about it. Huge games from John Wall, Victor Oladipo, and Christian Wood in this one. The newly dubbed wow factor, if you will. So Wall, Oladipo, Wood for wow. It's a bit of a cheesy acronym, but hey, we're going to roll with it because Coach Silas likes it. He laughed for about a solid 10 seconds in the post-game interview when asked about the wow factor. They combined for 67 points in this game. Just ridiculous from them. Christian Wood, 22 points, 12 rebounds, 8 of 12 shooting, only 1 of 4 from behind the arc. So I know, I will say that the wow factor did struggle a bit from behind the arc overall. John Wall with 20 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, had a block. Christian Wood definitely had more than one block. For some reason, they only credit him with one. And then Victor Oladipo, who I think he comes away as the player of the game in this one. He's your Rockets player of the game for me. Coming up clutch, you know, at the end of this game, he had 25 points, 11 of 23 shooting, just 2 of 10 from behind the arc. Kind of took him a little while to find his flow in this game, but once he did, I mean, he looked calm, cool, and collected by the end of this one. Also snatched 7 rebounds, dished out 5 assists, had a steal, had a block. Really felt like Victor Oladipo put his fingerprints all over this game later on once he really found his groove. Now on the other side, Damian Lillard got off to a ridiculously hot start in this game. He had 13 points in the first quarter, had 13 points, was just getting whatever he wanted against the Rockets, really. I mean, the Blazers jumped out to a ridiculous 32-17 lead after the first quarter. Rockets, it just felt like they were dysfunctional offensively. They weren't getting stops defensively. Just everything was going wrong for them. They turned the ball over 6 times in that quarter. It was really, really rough start, rough going for the Rockets early. And they did manage to turn it around, and we'll get into the specifics of how they turned it around and what changes they made. But Lillard, 30 points on the night, 4 rebounds, 9 assists, 11 of 23 shooting. It's really actually kind of important. He had that 13 in the first quarter. He only managed to score 17 the rest of the way. So the Rockets did a much better job defending him over the course of the remainder of the game than they did in that first frame. Gary Trent Jr., who I guess the juniors just like to light up the Rockets, because first it started with Tim Hardaway Jr. going 8 for 10 from behind behind the three-point line. And then Gary Trent Jr. decides to go 7 for 13 from behind the three-point line against the Rockets. He had 23 points, 3 boards, and an assist in this one. Really, it just always feels like somebody on the opposing team goes off against the Rockets, and it's never really any fun. It always sucks to be on the receiving end of that, and I'm sure other teams feel it as well. But tonight, you know, it was Gary Trent's night. It was, hey, step on up. It's the Houston Rockets. So, you know, come get yourself a career high or whatever. Just, have a career night against this team. But, this game coming down to the wire, really in this one, Rockets trailing by as many as 20, going up by as many as 11. And then it just coming down to the final few possessions in this game, a really, really clutch layup by Victor Oladipo that was only possible because of PJ Tucker securing an offensive rebound down the stretch of this game. In fact, I actually want to back it up a little bit and just walk down the tail end of this game, because look, even though PJ Tucker, like, I'm going to read off PJ Tucker's box score, right? 2 points, 6 rebounds, 2 blocks, 1 of 4 shooting, 0 of 2 from behind the arc. So, like, that is a really unimpressive box score. And if you didn't watch the game, you'd be thinking, damn, why are we still playing PJ Tucker? We are playing PJ Tucker. The Rockets are playing PJ Tucker because he makes winning basketball plays. Like, I'm sorry. Like, he just does. And it's going to suck the day that the Rockets, you know, possibly move on from PJ Tucker, because you know, he reads and makes these plays that lead to winning basketball games, and there's no other way to put it. Like, he makes winning basketball plays, and I'm going to walk you through exactly what happened at the tail end of this game. So Wall had his 2 free throws. In fact, actually, that might have been a little bit too far back. Actually, no, it's perfect. So Wall hit his 2 free throws to put the Rockets up 97-96. Lillard had a turnover. Oladipo had a driving layup with about 1:42 left in the game, and it just missed, kind of falling off the front of the iron. And PJ Tucker timed it perfectly and was right there to secure the tip-in. So the offensive rebound and the tip-in, getting 2 more points, putting the Rockets up 3. Then Damian Lillard comes back down, gets another layup pretty easily on the other end. John Wall comes back down, misses his layup. Kanter gets blocked, which was hilarious. PJ Tucker blocking Enes Kanter there at the tail end. I believe it was him. And then further down, we come back to the offensive end for the Rockets. And PJ Tucker gets another offensive rebound off of the John Wall pull-up jump shot, which personally I really would have liked to see Wall actually attack the defense and not settle for that pull-up jumper there. I really thought that was kind of a poor decision on his part at that point in the game. But PJ Tucker gets the offensive rebound, and then that offensive rebound gets kicked out to Victor Oladipo, and Oladipo, calm, cool, and collected, drives it in, kind of pushes the defender away, shields the ball, and is able to get kind of like this falling away shot where he just kisses it off the backboard and drops in the bucket, and the Rockets lead 101-98, giving them that 3-point cushion to where it's a 1-possession game, and the Blazers needed a 3-point shot to tie it up. Gary Trent Jr. misses the driving layup. Who else but PJ Tucker to come back in, secure the rebound again? He makes winning basketball plays. He really does. You know, he was exactly where he needed to be. He was playing good defense throughout the game. Can't say enough about what PJ Tucker did, you know, in the clutch in this game to help the Rockets get this win. But then also shout out Eric Gordon, who, you know, didn't have a phenomenal game, but at the same time, he iced the free throws to give the Rockets a 3-point lead to where the best case scenario for the Blazers was to tie it. And that forced them into having to have an Anfernee Simons 3 as their final shot of the game. So, you know, credit to Gordon for icing the game with the free throws. Credit to Tucker for getting the rebounds necessary. Credit to Victor Oladipo for getting the final actual bucket of the game in this one. But coming up, want to talk about the defense, want to talk about, you know, how they kind of turned this game around in the second quarter, all that good stuff. And we'll get there in just a quick moment after a quick message from our friends over at rockauto.com. Look, chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, which doesn't really seem fair, right? RockAuto.com's prices are the exact same for everybody, and they're always reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest possible prices rather than moving their prices around based on what the market will bear, kind of like what airlines do. They've got everything that you need, from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even brand new carpet. So whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, you can get everything, and I mean everything that you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. So go to rockauto.com right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck. And be sure, this is the super important part, be sure to write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, discussing the Rockets' 104-101 win against the Portland Trail Blazers, improving the team to 8-9. They are now the 10th best team in the Western Conference, slowly climbing the standings after the James Harden trade, the post-James Harden era of Houston Rockets basketball. Now, I want to dial it back because, right, so they had... The Rockets had this really abysmal start to this game, and they had basically zero penetration. They could not, they weren't getting into their drive and kick game, which is so much of a big part of what they're trying to do consistently. You know, they're running a lot of pick and roll with Christian Wood, with him rolling to the rim, but they also have this really great drive and kick game, especially led by John Wall and Victor Oladipo, and then Eric Gordon when they go into the bench. Where that's how they get their defense, that's how they get opposing defenses rotating. And once you get an opposing defense rotating, that's when you're able to find those wide open shots. You're able to keep the defense scrambling. And then as long as guys are making the right reads, making the extra passes, you're going to generate a really high quality look at some point in the offense. So they weren't doing that at all in the first quarter. It was just a lot of like ISO, one-on-one, very little ball movement, not a lot of pick and roll, just could not get a decent flow offensively. But where they managed to actually find some success was because their defense was getting the stops that they actually needed to get, and then they were able to get out in transition and get those easy opportunities. But they were doing things like, you know, I really found it interesting, they were doubling and blitzing Lillard throughout the rest of this game, and there's a reason that Lillard only scored 17 points along the way after lighting the Rockets up for 13 in the first quarter, because they essentially, every single time Lillard was coming off of a pick and roll or off of some type of a screen, they were throwing multiple bodies at him. They were blitzing him. They were trapping him. They just made life absolute hell for Damian Lillard throughout the rest of this game, which is why they were finally able to, you know, actually disrupt the Blazers' offense and get some stops, get some turnovers, and then get out and get those easy transition opportunities. So let's hear what Steven Silas had to say about the defense in this one.
The guys have grit and they're determined. And like you said, the adversity part is something that we've been talking a lot about and making sure that, I think early in the season, adversity would hit and we would succumb to that adversity. But tonight we did a great job of taking that adversity, putting forth the correct energy to fight back. And then it's the guys, you know, it's Tuck coming up with big defensive play, a huge tip in, great box outs when we needed them. It's Nwaba coming in and getting that block shot towards the end of the game. It's Victor and John staying on the attack, staying in on both ends of the floor. They were attacking. So it's very much the personality of the team and the players that allow us to deal with adversity in the way that we did tonight.
That was head coach Steven Silas talking about the grit and the defense that these guys had on display in this game. And specifically in that second quarter, where I really felt like the team started to thrive, a quarter in which Christian Wood, I think, went for 14 points in the quarter, if I'm not mistaken. Let me double check my game notes over here. Christian Wood had 14 points in that entire second quarter after being scoreless in the first quarter. They were getting in transition, right? So they were able to finally start getting the stops they needed. They were able to start generating some turnovers, really getting after it defensively, and then using that defensive presence, that defensive pressure to turn it into offense in transition. Specifically, John Wall was incredible in transition. By, you know, they'd secure the rebound and then just it was off to the races. I mean, it was really impressive what he and Christian Wood were able to do in that quarter to kind of drag the Rockets out of that funk that they found themselves in. And then Victor Oladipo as well, you know, because this kind of started with Christian Wood. He was really the driving force of the offense in that quarter. You know, even in transition with the Rockets, you know, moving just a lot faster, getting out, you know, in the open court to generate those easy looks, kind of spearheaded by John Wall. But then Christian Wood also being much more aggressive in this quarter. He had 4 free throw attempts, nailed all 4 of them, really looking for his own shot. They got him some attempts where he got the ball down low and was able to, you know, kind of, you know, I guess, post up and get into the teeth of the defense, just really being aggressive, looking for his shot. And then Victor Oladipo did the same. So when Depot checked back in, played a little bit over 6 minutes in this quarter leading into the halftime break, when Depot checked back in, I mean, he kind of like slowed it down a little bit. They still weren't hitting outside shots as much in this quarter. I think it's a really important thing to note is, again, with the breakdown that they had offensively in the first quarter, they attempted 16 three-pointers, and they only hit 2 of them because they weren't generating good three-pointers. These were like rushed threes with, you know, very little pressure on the defense, you know, multiple steps outside of the three-point line, that kind of thing. And then in the second quarter, they dialed that back significantly. They dialed it back. They only attempted 5 three-pointers, but they made 2 of them. So they shot way better because you go 2 of 16 in the first quarter and then 2 of 5 in the second quarter. You're still 4 for 21 overall, but you shot 40% in the second quarter. So that's a lot nicer. Where they really made their bread and butter, and they did the same things, you know, in the first quarter. They actually were 5 of 9 shooting inside the arc in the first quarter, and then they dialed that up significantly in the second quarter, shooting 14 of 22 in the second quarter. So they shot 63.6% in the second quarter, just, you know, getting everything that they wanted inside the arc, at the rim. They were just being really, really aggressive. And again, a lot of that came from in transition, but then they also were getting back to their bread and butter, which is that drive and kick game, getting the defense rotating. And even past the trio, the three-headed guard trio that the Rockets have in John Wall, Victor Oladipo, and Eric Gordon, even past those guys, it's really nice to see that there's other players on the Rockets that are able to utilize their driving ability to get to the rim, to finish strong, to keep the defense scrambling, because that's something that has been missing from this Rockets team in previous years is, again, guys that are very one-dimensional that can only do one thing offensively, whether it be shoot or whether it be dunk at the rim, like Clint Capella in the past, or currently PJ Tucker. You know, when he tries to put the ball on the floor, good things tend to not really happen. But, you know, and another a big proponent of that in this game, Daniel House Jr. was actually a big plus in this game. He was the best player off the bench in this one, a +9 in his 19 minutes, looking really good, shot 4 of 7 from the floor, had 11 points, 2 of 5 three-point shooting, you know, played some solid defense, just, you know, very much looking like he understands his role, I guess, not trying to overexert himself, not doing too much in this game. So that's great to see from House, because, you know, I do really feel like he is a guy who wants his starting role back in this lineup, and he's going to have to kind of earn that starting role back, unfortunately. But so far, so good. It looks pretty great. And with the fact that Jayshon Tate continues to get the starting nod, even with the Rockets finally back at 100% strength. So this is the first game all season where the Rockets have had every single player that they, you know, reasonably should have available. And Steven Silas choosing to go 10 deep in this game with the starting lineup, of course, of John Wall, Victor Oladipo, Jayshon Tate, PJ Tucker, and Christian Wood. And then the bench unit of Daniel House Jr., DeMarcus Cousins, Eric Gordon, Sterling Brown, and David Nwaba. That's the 10-man lineup that Steven Silas decided to opt with in this game, choosing not to give any minutes to Mason Jones or to Ben McLemore, who kind of are the two guys finding themselves as the odd men out in this rotation currently. But it's important that House does find his rhythm again and gets back into a groove, because if the Rockets decide to move on from PJ Tucker, That's why Jayshon Tate, I think, is in the starting lineup and will probably remain in the starting lineup for now, because they're kind of grooming him to take over the PJ Tucker role in this offense and just in the starting lineup in general once they move on from him. Now, if they make it past the trade deadline and PJ Tucker is still a Houston Rocket, you're not going to hear any complaints from me, because, again, he's a great guy to have around these young players. But at the same time, if the Rockets feel they can get a future asset for him or something to that effect, then maybe they decide to make a move on it and they decide to run with Jayshon Tate at the four spot. And then that opens things back up for Daniel House to be back in the starting lineup. And then it opens things up even further for those guys at the end of the bench, Mason Jones, KJ Martin Jr., Ben McLemore, if he's still a Rocket, to get some minutes for those guys rather than, you know, those guys not being played. But those guys will still get minutes too on the nights, you know, second night of back-to-backs, those kinds of things, when they're monitoring the minutes for John Wall and Victor Oladipo, that kind of stuff. If there's any injuries, if there's any contact tracing, it's good to know that this Rockets team has that advantage where they are a very deep team. They've got a lot of playable guys way down on that bench to where they're not going to be strapped if one or two guys are missing a night here or there. Now, it is worth noting again that the Rockets are now 8-1 when their bench outscores the opposing bench unit. So obviously the Blazers are a little bit shorthanded in this one, but they only had 18 bench points in this game compared to, what is that, 10, 21, 33 bench points by the Rockets. There we go. I should have written that down ahead of time. But yeah, 33 to 18 bench scoring in favor of the Rockets in this game. So just, again, the fact that they have Eric Gordon now coming back off the bench in that sixth man of the year role that he has played before and has, you know, excelled at before, it's just huge. You know, he is a starting caliber player for arguably half the teams in the league, and to have that scoring punch coming off the bench. But even in this one, Eric Gordon didn't have a super dominant game, but at the same time, you know, he still comes off the bench, plays really aggressive, plays great defense, had some really great sets of him on Damian Lillard, making life really difficult for him. He does stretch and spread out the defense. So even though he didn't have, you know, another 20 plus scoring performance in this one, he brings a lot to the table. And Daniel House Jr. being the biggest benefit off the bench in this one, but just overall a really great team effort from that bench brigade of guys. Still Sterling Brown, David Nwaba bringing the energy, the hustle defensively. Not, you know, super splashy nights for them on the offensive end, but they really didn't need it when the big three of Christian Wood, John Wall, and Oladipo combined for 67 points. They didn't need that much more offense from other people, because those three guys are going to be your three guys generating a majority of the offense on a nightly basis anyways. So I do want to talk about Christian Wood a little bit. I want to talk about some of the things that I saw from him that really stood out in this game, as well as some of the other elements from this one. And we'll get there in just one moment after a quick message from our friends over at betonline.ag. Super Bowl is almost here. NBA season is in full swing, and there are great games every single night of the week. And look, Major League Baseball is right around the corner as well. And there's only one place that has you covered and one place that we here at Locked On Rockets trust, and that is betonline.ag. You can sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, for a 50% welcome bonus with your very first deposit. Look, there's great games across all three of the major sports leagues that you're not going to want to miss out on. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. And don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your very first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Quick message from our friends over at Built Bar. Look, you know, when it comes to protein bars, until I found Built Bar, I was never a big protein bar person, right? Because I'd only ever had the bad protein bars, the ones that, you know, they taste gritty or chalky, or they just, you know, there's barely any flavor in them. It's, you know, but Built Bar is basically like eating a candy bar that's jam-packed with protein, right? I look forward to getting to eat my Built Bars, actually. Look, and I mean, they come in so many awesome flavors. My personal favorite, call me basic if you want to. I love the double chocolate mousse, but they've got so many pretty good ones. Salted caramel, mint chocolate brownie, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake. You just really can't go wrong down the entire menu. 18 different awesome flavors. The bars are soft. They're easy to chew. They're covered in 100% delicious chocolate. They're low-cal, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. Amazing for a keto diet. And you can check them out. Just go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your very next order. So again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Let's hear what Coach Steven Silas had to say about Christian Wood and his presence in this game.
Christian was good, and he was just so efficient, you know, in that stretch where we kind of got the lead in hand, but then obviously they came back after that. But when we stretched it out a little bit, he was so good in that stretch, like making little floaters in the paint and stretching the defense and making plays on both ends of the floor.
Once again, that was head coach Steven Silas talking about Christian Wood. And I do think that, you know, just looking at what Wood brings to the table, some of the ways that he's able to finish around the rim in the paint. I mean, he has such a ridiculously soft shot. I mean, he really is a truly offensively gifted player. Like, you just see how, I mean, obviously, like, he's already really, really good, but the fact that he's going to be able to get even better than this once he gets a little bit more comfortable, once he's gotten used to the reps offensively, once he gets used to the higher usage rating, being a bigger part of the offense consistently, all that stuff. Again, revisiting his stat line momentarily, 22 points on 8 of 12 shooting, 1 of 4 from behind the arc. That's the area where, you know, if he can get that up to a little bit better consistency shooting behind the arc, I mean, he's a good shooter. I think coming into this game, he was shooting like 36.5% from behind the arc, give or take. But seriously, you know, and then once he bulks up a little bit and is able to kind of bang with some of the bigger centers out there while still remaining agile, because some of the moves that he pulls, right, where he's on the three-point line and opposing centers, you know, Cantor has to actually, like, walk out there and guard him at the three-point line, otherwise he will pull the trigger. And because of that, as soon as Cantor starts to advance further out to the three-point line, Christian Wood is able to get him with that quick pump fake, driving it into the rim, and then he's got, like, the hang time to get up in the air, you know, kind of elevate over the defense, and then use that really just feathery soft touch to finish, you know, pretty. It seems like every shot that he puts up that is in the paint is going in. Like I want to pull up, I'm pulling up his shot chart right now. He only missed one shot inside the paint, which is just ridiculous when you think about it. And another element that, you know, we should probably consider for him, all three of his three-point misses were, like, dead-on three-point shots from the top of the key, and he only hit one three-pointer, and it was actually that corner three with where the ball got tapped out of bounds by the Blazers. And the Rockets had 0.9 seconds to get a shot off, which I did comment during the game that it was kind of poetic that Christian Wood would hit a shot with 0.9 seconds left on the clock against the Blazers and that it would be a three of all kinds of shots. So I thought that was a little funny there, a little bit of poetry. But maybe there's a way for the Rockets to get Christian Wood some threes in some other spots. You know, I don't know if it's just, again, you know, those corner threes are the easiest three-point shots to hit. So maybe if they have him operating, you know, not operating out of the corner, but have him lined up in the corners occasionally to get some easier looks for three. I haven't had time to pull up his actual, like, corner three-point shooting numbers on the year, so maybe I'm just making a baseless claim here, but at least in this one, he struggled to hit the three ball from the top of the key, and he hit the only one that he attempted from the corner. It is an easier three-point shot overall, but just Christian Wood having all those offensive tools as part of his game, and then defensively, again, he was only credited with one block in this game. I definitely thought he had at least two or three by the end of this one. He's getting a lot better about not only just boxing out and, you know, being aware of where he needs to be defensively, but just being that rim deterrent, right? So as guards are driving in, as guys are making their moves towards the basket, he's learning to read and react and, you know, picking and choosing the right spots to abandon his man and go help contest as, like, the weak side shot blocker or, you know, whatever. And, you know, just seeing that development from him, seeing Christian Wood go from being really in the early part of the season, you know, he was just a really abysmal defender, to getting to a point where there's some level of confidence in him as that rim deterrent, as a rim protector, it feels pretty good. He's still not, you know, an elite defensive player, and there's still moments where he's got some gaffes defensively, but overall, it's just, it's been a very, like, exponential progression as to how much better he's gotten on that side of the basketball. Now, a guy that I haven't had a chance to talk about tonight in this one is John Wall. You know, I mentioned him, you know, and him pushing the pace in that second quarter, which was, you know, significant. The Rockets, you know, were dominant in that second quarter, putting up 36 points to just 18 points by the Blazers. Completely flipped the narrative from the first quarter to the second quarter, able to carry a bit of a lead going into the halftime stretch. But John Wall is basically the leader of this team now, and he pretty much said as much in his post-game interview. Basically going so far as to say that he basically believes that this is his team. And then he also had a little bit more shade to throw at James Harden.
The team wasn't where we wanted to be. And I mean, we had people that didn't want to be here. So it's kind of hard to play through that and try to find a chemistry. And once we got that away and then we made the trades happen, we got the team that we wanted and the guys that wanted to be here. And once we all committed to what we wanted to do, we're going to be a good team. I mean, everybody's have something to prove that, people don't think we could be as good as we are. They say we're going to be bad when James got one away.
So John Wall definitely feeling some kind of way about the James Harden situation. And look, I mean, who can blame him? He's going to keep subtweeting James Harden. And honestly, I'm absolutely here for it because it sounds like James Harden may have, you know, might have straight up lied to John. And, so, you know, when you consider the fact that, you know, if John was under the impression that Harden wanted him here and wanted to play with him, and then the way that Harden bailed on this team after, you know, such a short early going, not really giving this team a chance. And now we're seeing this team actually make, you know, making waves, becoming the number one best rated defense in the NBA since James Harden has been traded. And that's not a super small sample size. That's an 8-game sample size. And it very much feels like everybody up and down this roster that I've been saying repeatedly now, everybody on this roster is a good defender. You know, they're bought in, and, you know, had James Harden been bought in, maybe they could have achieved a similar level of success. But unfortunately, that ship has sailed. And honestly, with John Wall, I'm here for it. You know, if he wants to be here, if the organization wants him to be their guy and he, you know, views this as his team, maybe this doesn't have to be a situation like the Chris Paul situation where, you know, Chris Paul was a one and done in OKC and then they flipped him at the end of the season. There's a very real possibility that the Rockets can be a competitive team with this very layout, with this very lineup that we're seeing in front of our eyes right now. And if that's the case, then I'm all here for John Wall staying for the long haul as a Houston Rocket. I really am. You know, I love his grit. I love his fight. I love his intensity. He's a total alpha dog. He calls it how it is. You know, he's doing a great job, you know, mentoring the young guys on this team, and he wants to be here. He is bought into this team, and it's a beautiful thing to see. And this team needs that, right? Because I don't know if, you know, if you look at it and you say, well, is it really John's team or should it be Christian's team? You know, I don't know if Christian Wood is necessarily, like, ready for that. You know, this is still a very brand new environment for Christian Wood after having to fight and claw to get to this place in his career where he's now, you know, starting caliber center, putting up the numbers he is. It's great. But at the same time, I don't know if he's necessarily ready to be the face of a team quite just yet. The responsibility that comes with, you know, being the leader of a team. And John Wall, having done that for 10 years already with the Wizards, he is ready for that responsibility. He knows what it takes to be the leader of a competitive basketball team. And for now, I mean, this looks like they've got the old John Wall. You know, he looks explosive. He's got his athleticism back. He looks like he's healthy and ready to go, you know, with this team and ready to take this team to the playoffs and be competitive. And again, I'm here for his level of leadership that he's providing to these guys. Now, you know, you just like looking at his numbers from the night, again, he put in 20 points, 6 of 16 shooting. If I'm being critical of John Wall, I'd say that I'd like to see him take less outside shots and focus on getting the ball inside a bit more. If I pull up his shot chart, let me double check here. I want to make sure I get my numbers right. He attempted 3 long twos in this game. And those long twos would much rather see them either completely turn them into three-pointers or just take those shots and, you know, give them to somebody else or, you know, drive the ball in inside instead. But that's something that, you know, John has, you know, had in his bag before, and hopefully Silas and the coaching staff are talking to him about it and they're trying to work those out of his system. But so far to this point, it hasn't been nearly as bad as with Russell Westbrook and his, you know, fetish for mid-range jump shots, despite being a poor mid-range shooter. John Wall has been much more effective at driving the ball, finishing inside, and he's even, you know, shown a slight proficiency in his three-point shot, going 3 for 7 in this one. He had the best three-point percentage out of the big three, the wow factor, going 3 for 7, whereas Christian Wood went 1 for 4, and then Oladipo went just 2 for 10. So it's great to see John Wall kind of developing that way, and again, taking that leadership role upon himself for this team. It's a great thing to see. Now, Victor Oladipo is another guy who's, you know, kind of in a similar position where you could maybe make an argument that depending on if he's here in Houston for the long haul, then maybe Victor Oladipo should be shouldering some of that leadership burden. But let's hear what Victor Oladipo had to say right after this game about what it means to be here in Houston and how he's feeling about this team.
Just come in here and be myself. Do what I can on both ends of the floor. Be who I am, and I've always been in the locker room. Continue to uplift my teammates. You know, without them, I wouldn't have any success. So it's been great coming to Houston, and it felt like, you know, all of us are on the same page, and we all have something to prove, and we all want to win. And once you have the same mentality and you put a group of guys together, special things can happen. It's unfortunate, you know, going through my career, it just feels like, you know, people keep kind of quitting on me. But, you know, it's a part of life. And I embrace it, and I'm just trying to make the most of every day, and I give God the glory for the ability to play this game.
That was Victor Oladipo post-game. Now, he did have another post-game video where he, you know, it talked about having a chip on his shoulder and that, you know, everybody in this locker room is playing for something, fighting for something. But this one kind of rubbed a lot of Pacers fans the wrong way, you know, saying that, you know, people keep quitting on me. Coming from Victor Oladipo, that is, and a lot of Pacers fans are kind of painting Oladipo as like Paul George 2.0. And unfortunately, I don't know enough about the situation with the Pacers to know if that's accurate. From what it sounds like, you know, Victor Oladipo didn't want to stay with the Pacers, turned down a 4-year, 100-something million dollar extension. And, you know, that's tough. If you're a Pacers fan, to hear that from Victor Oladipo, if the fan base really did, you know, embrace him. But hey, you know, right now he's a Houston Rocket. He's saying all the right things. And if the Rockets decide that they want Oladipo in a Houston jersey long term and they throw down an extension and he denies it, then maybe Rockets fans will feel a similar way about Oladipo. But as per right now, you know, he is part of the Rockets, you know, essentially their big three, you know, the new wow factor trio. And so far, this trio is looking pretty good, right? They're riding a 4-game winning streak. They are a defensive team now. That is their identity. And I think that's such a cool thing for this Houston Rockets team to be able to pride itself on its defense, to be able to win games based on their defense. They were getting stops when they needed to in this game. Granted, the Blazers did outscore the Rockets 24-18 in that final frame. There's still going to be some hiccups. There's still going to be some moments that are hard to guard. I mean, you know, when you've got the Blazers, who as a team in this one, the Blazers shot 41.5% from behind the three-point line. You know, that's just a ridiculous number, 17 of 41, compared to just 27.7% for the Rockets, who shot 13 of 47 from behind the arc in this one. You know, that's just... It's impressive that they were able to overcome such a hot shooting night by the Blazers from distance on a night, too, where the Rockets were not matching them point for point. But it's also because the Rockets, again, they decided that they were going to get a majority of their points inside the arc, inside the paint specifically. I think the number was, I have it written down over here, across the second and third quarters, the Rockets actually shot, so the Rockets shot 28% in the first quarter and then 61% in the second and third quarters combined. So they did really turn it around offensively to be able to kind of make that happen. But there were, again, there were stretches of this game where defensively they did have some lapses. Gary Tritton Jr. Decided to, again, turn it on in the second half, but he did get some wide open looks off some turnovers by the Rockets here and there. He was 0 of 4 in the first half for his three-point shooting, and then went on to be, 0 of 4 there, and then went on to shoot 7 of 9 in the second half, which is just blistering. Like, that's just unbelievably good for Gary Trent Jr. I mean, he absolutely lit the Rockets up, and the Rockets didn't do themselves, you know, any favors on some of the more wide open looks that he got. But he was also drilling shots with a hand right in his face. So, I mean, what else are you going to do? Sometimes guys just have it, and you tip your cap when it's better offense or when somebody's hitting shots with a hand right in their face. There's not much else you can do about it. But really, the Rockets putting on a really great performance in this one. I do think it was interesting that Silas at a couple points in this game, he opted to have essentially the entire bench unit out there, you know, from basically running a lineup, an exact lineup of Eric Gordon, Sterling Brown, David Nwaba, Daniel House Jr., and DeMarcus Cousins, essentially an entire line switch for the Rockets at times in this game. And we even saw, you know, for a brief stint, we saw the tuck wagon lineup for a little bit. So at the top of the fourth quarter, Cousins was out there with the rest of the bench guys. And that was when the Rockets were actually struggling at the top of the fourth quarter. Unfortunately, that's when the Blazers started to kind of mount a little bit of their run. The Rockets going into the quarter with an 86-79 lead. And then the Blazers actually going on a 9-0 run before the Rockets called timeout and got in the rest of their got in a couple of their starters, subbing in at the 10.5 minute mark. They subbed in Oladipo for Nwaba, and then they brought in PJ Tucker for DeMarcus Cousins. So it was, you know, a good call by Steven Silas to kind of recognize that. I do kind of question a little bit the staggering of the lineups. I know that he's not, you know, they're trying to not go super heavy on the minutes load for John Wall or for Christian Wood. Wall, kind of, again, they don't want to exacerbate that knee issue that he had. And then Christian Wood coming back off that ankle sprain, don't want to, you know, grind him into the dust. But not having any of the starting unit in there, even though they had Eric Gordon in there, not having any of the starting unit in there, or at least one of the big three of the wow factor, to kind of carry that unit a little bit, to kind of be the steadying hand for those guys out there, was a little bit questionable. But he realized it pretty quickly, minute and a half into the quarter, got Oladipo and got Tucker back in there. And then that Tucker lineup, the Tuck Wagon lineup, which we, know and love so much, was able to do some things defensively. They were able to cause a little bit of havoc, switching things around. They went on a little bit of a run themselves to kind of get the game back within the Rockets' control, I guess. Even though it was kind of tightly contested, very much a back-and-forth affair, a little bit back-and-forth. What did I say? I already said back and forth. Why am I tripping over my words? It was a back and forth affair kind of the rest of the way, unfortunately, the way that fourth quarter started, but at least the Rockets finished it the right way. And there were a lot of people who were kind of clamoring for Christian Wood to check back in earlier. Silas did take a while to put Christian Wood back in the game. But again, I do think that was because, Christian Wood checked back in with 5.5 minutes to go in the game. But again, that's because they didn't want to go too overboard with Christian Wood's minutes, this early, first game back after his injury, all that good stuff. So I understand the lineup, the lineup movement, I guess, for Steven Silas. And it's important to notice just that he does recognize, right? He realized, right away, hey, this lineup isn't cutting it. I got to get, Victor Oladipo out there to kind of steady some things because he has it going offensively. Eric Gordon doesn't tonight. DeMarcus Cousins was getting picked on in this game. That's why he only played 11 minutes. So, it shows that Steven Silas is learning as he's navigating, this early part of the season. And again, he's now finally got that fully healthy roster. So it'll be great to see how he utilizes things, which ways he decides to stagger certain players. I thought it was interesting that he decided to pull John Wall out of the game early, in the first quarter, and then have Victor Oladipo be the guard that stays in, and then bringing John Wall back in at the tail end of the quarter. That's a unique thing that we're not used to, because traditionally, previously with James Harden, he, you know, essentially played the entirety of the first quarter usually, or at least all the way down to the like 1 or 2 minute mark before getting his rest. So it's just going to be fun to kind of notice and, you know, see what patterns we get from Steven Silas with his substitutions, with his rotations, all that good stuff moving forward. But this is an exciting team. Again, they're on a 4-game winning streak. They have a defensive-first identity now. Getting their offense sorted out, that's going to be the big, not big issue, but that's going to be the next step for this team to want to be considered a legitimate playoff team. They've got to find a consistent source of offense. They need to not get into those lulls where they decide to isolate so heavily, where they're not pushing the pace in transition, because that's when they're at their deadliest, right? If they are generating turnovers, which they did at a high rate in this game, they forced 15 turnovers from the Blazers, and they turned those 15 turnovers into 24 points. And that's been a recurring theme throughout this winning streak, throughout the post-James Harden Rockets era, where as they've been kind of molding themselves and formulating this defensive identity, they are generating a lot of turnovers, and they're getting out in transition off those turnovers. And a big part of that has been that bench brigade, specifically Sterling Brown and David Nwaba, those two guys causing havoc defensively, creating opportunities for the team in transition. But now you've also got the really excellent point of attack defenders in John Wall and Victor Oladipo, who are not making anything easy for the opposing team. You know, it's just about finding the right mix of, you know, the defensive guys on the floor, as well as the guys who can actually score the ball, and then finding those lineups for Silas that work really well. And then hopefully a little bit further down the line, not being limited in the minutes department for guys like Christian Wood and John Wall, who again only played 32 and 30 minutes respectively in this game. So I think that's going to be where we wrap things up for in today's episode. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.